RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo to open Cipali Toll Road on Saturday. Indonesia formally waives visa requirements for 45 countries. Jakarta nightclubs and massive palaces to be closed during Ramadan. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to officially open the 116-kilometer Cipali Toll Road, which connects Cikopo in Cikampek and Pali Manan in Cirebon on Saturday, June 13th. With the new toll road connecting the existing Jakarta-Cikampek and Palimanan-Brebes toll roads, motorists will be able to travel from Jakarta to Brebes for 4 hours. Indonesian Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said President Joko Widodo asked for the toll road's official opening to be conducted ahead of the scheduled date of June 15. The toll road's construction has been expedited so that it can be officially opened on Saturday and then directly after that opened to the public. Minister Basuki said on his arrival at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport after accompanying the president to officially open the Gempol Pandaan toll road in East Java. Finally, this week, Indonesian government formalized a visa-free travel regulation that was announced months ago for citizens from 45 countries in a bid to boost tourism and improve relations with those countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo signed the presidential regulation on visa-free travel for tourists on Tuesday. Visa-free travel is offered to citizens of several countries and special administrative regions in consideration of the importance of reciprocity and benefits. Indonesian Cabinet Secretary website quoted from the regulation in a post published on Saturday. Those citizens are allowed to stay for 30 days, but the visa permit cannot be extended or changed to other stay permits. The regulation was originally set to take effect in April. Australia, the third largest group of foreign visitors, after Singaporeans and Malaysians, according to the latest available Central Statistics Agency or BPS data, will still need a visa to enter Indonesia. Although tourists can buy one on arrival, the 5 international airports through which citizens of the 45 countries and 3 tourists can enter Indonesia, visa-free are Soekarno-Hatta in Jakarta, Ngurah Rai in Bali, Kuala Namu in Medan, Juanda in Surabaya, and Hanadim in Batam. Sri Bintan and Tanjung Uban Seaport in Bintan Island and Sekupan and Batam Center Ports in Batam will also provide the facility. Jakarta administration will force hundreds of nightclubs and masjid palaces to close during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, although certain entertainment centers will be allowed to open at night. The restrictions will take effect next Wednesday, June 17th, one day before the start of Ramadan, and will affect 371 entertainment businesses throughout the city. This was affirmed by Purba Hutafea from Jakarta Tourism and Culture Promotion Agency. Purba added the businesses were first informed of the restriction on May 15th, and they will be able to resume normal operation on July 18th, 3 days after Idul Fitri celebration, which marked the end of Ramadan. During Ramadan, karaoke bars may only open between 8:30 p.m. and 1:30 a.m., and live music may only be pledged at restaurants and bars between those hours. Bilya centers must close at midnight. However, all karaoke, bilya and live music venues must cease activity on the eve of Ramadan and the first day of Ramadan, as well as the eve of Idul Fitri and 3 days following it. The Ministry of Social Affairs has recruited a total of 1,200 social workers and counselors in an attempt to provide rehabilitation services for drug addicts throughout Indonesia. This was stated by Mumant Nuryana, the Minister of Education and Research Body Chief, on Friday. He pointed out that recruitment was done to comply with the demand of social workers and counselors at the ministry. Mumant added that 700 social workers and 500 counselors will be equipped with the knowledge and skill to handle problems pertaining to narcotics, psychotropic and other addictive substances, or NAPSA, before being sent off to 24 provinces. As for the first batch, 168 social workers and 118 counselors are in going 2-week training in Yogyakarta. Indonesian Labor Minister said it appreciates a cooperation agreement, or PKB, reached between PT Newman Nusa Tenggara, NNT, and its unit of labor union. The minister noted there are changes in the new agreements which are considered mutually beneficial to both sides. The changes are expected to benefit both workers and the company better than expected from the previous agreement 2 years ago. This was affirmed by Director for Development of Industrial Relations, Irianto Simbolon, in Mataram West, Nusa Tenggara. He said a cooperation agreement is an industrial relation, therefore all companies are expected to have such agreement. It is not a regulation of the company based only the policy of the company, said. Irianto added the PKB signed by PT NNT and its workers expected to improve the welfare of the workers and performance of the company in 2 years in line with the agreement. The last item, Indonesian athlete Rini Budiarti proved that her wins in the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase in the last two Southeast Asian SEA Games sporting events were no fluke after she scored a hat-trick during the final event in the National Stadium in Singapore on Friday. Rini prevailed before the home crowd in the 2011 SEA Games in Palembang and later in 2013 SEA Games in Myanmar. This is the third victory of Rini, but it was tougher compared to the previous wins since she tripped in Singapore during the race, Rini told reporters after the race. Rini, who was leading the pack since the start, managed to maintain her lead until the finish line. Rini clocked the time 10:20.40 ahead of her arch rivals, Vietnam Nguyen Thi Phuong, who grabbed silver in 10:32.61, followed by Jessica Lund, partner of the Philippines, who completed 10:36.90 to win bronze. Rini has a SEA Games record under her own name of 10:0.58 that she scored in Palembang 2 years ago. Her time was 10:04.54. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Some important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. I'm Dalat Pane. We start from Kompas newspaper. The Daily writes, the exchange of position in the Indonesian military, or TNI, and National Intelligence Agency, or BIN. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has proposed Army Chief of Staff General Gatot Nurmantio to replace General Muldoko, who will retire as the Indonesian military commander. The day after the letter of nomination of the candidates for the Indonesian Armed Forces commander sent to the House of Representatives, President Joko Widodo also appointed retired Lieutenant General Sutiyoso as a candidate to lead the State Intelligence Agency, BIN, to replace Marciano Norman. The appointment of TNI commander and the head of BIN is the right of the president. In accordance with the Indonesian Armed Forces law, the appointment of military commanders required the approval of parliament, while according to the law on state intelligence, the appointment of the head of state intelligence agency, BIN, requires the consideration of the House of Representatives. The president's decision to propose Army Chief of Staff to become TNI commander breaks the tradition that was built under President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. In that period, the armed forces commander, alternately held by active officers of the three armed forces, Kompas hopes the appointment of Gatot, a military academy graduate in 1982, as a candidate for the TNI commander, does not cause commotion. The next review comes from Tempo newspaper. Tempo writes the old decision on Haifa ship. There is no need. Minister of Marine and Fisheries Susi Pujastuti laments the fleet of MV Haifa, the ship which was accused of robbing fish in the Indonesian water of Papua, was set free after Ambon's court only fined it 200 million rupiahs, or a replacement of 6 months imprisonment. Haifa returns to the sea on June the 1st. It shows how strong the fish mafia in this country. It does not only fail to send them to jail, but in turn to sue Minister Susi on charges of defamation. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries also complained to the civil court and sued to pay compensation 1 trillion rupiahs because the ship did not sail from December 2014 to April 2015. Koran Tempo writes it is the fact the ship sailed without documents and did not turn on the cruise vessel monitoring system, the ship surveillance system. The judge punished it with a mild verdict because the prosecutor demanded only by a trivial cases, namely the smuggling of endangered species of martel sharks, not stealing fish. Ministry of Marine Affairs and Fisheries could not appeal, since the judge decided in accordance with the demands of the prosecutor. Tempo suspects there was a syndicate behind it. According to Koran Tempo, illegal fishing is not about criminal. It can also knock down the joint state economy. If no decisive steps by the president, what Minister Susi Pujastuti wants to enforce will have no meaning. Without decisive action and tough sanctions, efforts to eradicate fish robbery and the intention of President Joko Widodo to revive maritime shaft is just a dream. We end press review with Media Indonesia newspaper. The Daily writes, milling spear of food prices tamer. It cannot be denied that the urgent problems facing by the governments today is how to tame inflation. If it is look at the seasonal factors, the rate of inflation certainly go up in June and July, which is the period of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr celebrations. Media Indonesia writes, it should be recognized that it is quite difficult for the government to restrain the rate of inflation in the next 2 months. Commonly, food prices will rise following the high demand. Moreover, the Central Bureau of Statistics noted that in May 2015, the inflation rate reached 0.5%, the highest in 7 years in the same month. Inflation was fueled by high food prices. However, the condition does not mean that the government may surrender and let the inflation to go on. Now the government gained the moment to move to control the causes of inflation. According to Media Indonesia, the moment is price control, at this time coincided with the reshuffle of National Logistics Agency, or Bulog. The government committed to strengthening Bulog and make it as the spearhead to control food prices. As the name implies, Bulog, or National Logistics Agency, is not only responsible for stabilizing the price of rice, but also other foodstuffs. Well, listener, that was press review.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on June 13, 1944, when the first V1 was launched in London. the V-1 flying bomb was an early pulse jet-powered predecessor of the cruise missile. The V-1 was developed at Nijmegen Army Research Center by the Nazi German Luftwaffe during the Second World War. During initial development, it was known by the codename Cherry Stone. The first of the so-called Vergeltungswaffen series, designed for terror bombing of London, the V-1 was fired from launch facilities along the French and Dutch coasts. The first V-1 was launched at London on June 13, 1944, 1 week after and prompted by the successful Allied landings in Europe. At its peak, more than 100 V-1s a day were fired at Southeast England, 9,521 in total, decreasing in number as sites were overrun until October 1944, when the last V-1 site in range of Britain was overrun by Allied forces. After this, the V-1s were directed at the port of Antwerp and other targets in Belgium, with 2,448 V-1s being launched. The attack stopped when the last launch site was overrun on March 29, 1945. The British operated an arrangement of air defenses, including anti-aircraft guns and fighter aircraft, to intercept the bombs before they reached their targets as part of Operation Crossbow, while the launch sites and underground V-1 storage depots were targets of strategic bombing. And the next event was in 1996 when Garuda Indonesia Flight 865 crashed. Garuda Indonesia Flight 865 was a scheduled international flight from Fukuoka, Japan to Jakarta, Indonesia that crashed at takeoff on June 13, 1996. The crew of the McDonnell Douglas DC-1030 attempted to abort takeoff after the failure of the number 3 right engine. The abort occurred at speeds nearing V2 and after rotation of the nose. Following the abort, attempts were made to stop the aircraft on the runway by use of breakers, ground spoilers, and thrust reversers. But the crew was unable to stop the aircraft within the boundaries of the runway, which exited the airport property. The captain stated that he feared that the aircraft might hit buildings or objects if he did not abort the takeoff. The failure of the engine was attributed to a failed turbine blade that had been in use for 6,182 cycles. General Electric, the manufacturer of the engine, had advised customers to discard turbine blades after 6,000 cycles. The final report concluded that pilot error and the failure of the maintenance and flight operation sections of the airline in properly coordinating matters resulted in the accident. And the last event was in 1983 when Pioneer 10 spacecraft was out of the solar system. Pioneer 10 is an American space probe weighing 258 kilograms that completed the first mission to the planet Jupiter. Thereafter, Pioneer 10 became the first spacecraft to achieve escape velocity from the solar system. The space exploration project was conducted by the NASA Ames Research Center in California, and the space probe was manufactured by TRW. Pioneer 10 was launched on March 3, 1972 by an Atlas counter-expandable vehicle from Cape Canaveral, Florida. Between July 15, 1972 and February 15, 1973, it became the first spacecraft to traverse the asteroid belt. Photography of Jupiter began November 6, 1973 at a range of 25 million kilometers, and a total of about 500 images were transmitted. The closest approach to the planet was on December 4, 1973 at a range of 132,252 kilometers. During the mission, the onboard instruments were used to study the asteroid belt, the environment around Jupiter, the solar wind, cosmic rays, and eventually the far reaches of the solar system and heliosphere. Radio communications were lost with Pioneer 10 on January 23, 2003 because of the loss of electric power for its radio transmitter, with a probe at a distance of 12 billion kilometers from the Earth. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on Sutioso, is nominated as the head of National Intelligence Agency. I'm Dodot Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, nominates the chairman of Indonesian Justice and United Party, PKPI, Sutioso, to replace Marciano Norman as head of the National Intelligence Agency, BIN. House Speaker Setia Novanto admits that the president sent a letter to the House related to the replacement of the head of BIN and the Indonesian military, TNI, commander, and have been accepted by the House of Representatives on Tuesday night. The letter proposes the name of Sutioso as the head of BIN to replace Marciano Norman. As for the armed forces commander, the president shall submit Army Chief of Staff General Gatot Nurmantio to replace General Muldoko. In a statement to the media in the middle of preparations for the wedding of his son on Wednesday, President Jokowi said he chose retired Lieutenant General Sutioso as a candidate for head of the State Intelligence Agency with a number of considerations. The good track record and competence of the former Jakarta military commander and the commander of the special forces of the army, Jokowi hopes parliament does not reject the proposed candidates. Many people question the appointment of Sutioso as the candidate for the head of the National Intelligence Agency, non-governmental organization Setara Institute and Impartial, for example, considers the nomination of Sutioso is only sharing the pose of the president's supporters. However, members of parliament from PKS faction Fahri Hamzah welcomes the nomination of Sutioso. According to him, Sutioso is worthy of being the head of BIN. He is convinced, personally, that Sutioso is qualified to lead the intelligence agency. Fahri says Sutioso has extensive experience, has become a civilian official, even the leader of a political party. He believes the nomination of Sutioso by President Jokowi as the head of the intelligence agency will be seamless in the House with the condition Sutioso must leave his position as chairman of PKPI, the party he founded and led. Sutioso himself expressed readiness to become the head of the National Intelligence Agency. The Indonesian military figure, who was born in Semarang on December 6, 1944, promises that he will leave his position as the chairman of the PKPI as soon as he is sworn in. Well, listener, that was today's focus.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, to inform you some headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta on Saturday, 13th of June 2015. Let's start headlining Kompas Daily. In its headline, Kompas writes, "Do not have an impression of institutional representative at KPK." Indonesian National Police, Polri, plans to propose three names as a candidates for the leadership of the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK. However, the move was considered inappropriate because the registration of candidates for leadership of the commission should be based on personal interest and encouragement, not by nature of an institution. A member of National Police Commission, Kompolnas, Andrianus Meliala, explained, "The police should not have to push a particular candidate to register as a candidate for leadership of the commission. Polri's support was failed to pose an impression that the candidate is representative or subordinate of the Polri in the commission. As a result, the commission seems powerless." Next, Media Indonesia in its headline writes, "Indonesia is likely to overturn Malaysia." Although currently Indonesia still stands at the fifth position list of the 28 SEA Games taking place in Singapore for medal collection, it is believed to continuously add some medals, remembering a number of medals for Indonesian excellent sport events
were grabbed at the last days before the closing on June 16. Chairman of the Indonesian Union of the Gold Program, Satwa Prima, Suwarno, affirmed that some of the excellent sport branches that Indonesia can gain are martial arts, archery, and badminton. Indonesian badminton men's contingent reinforced, among others, by Ihsan Maulana, Jonathan Christie and doubles partner, Angra Pratama, Ricky Karandoswardi, who successfully grabbed gold medal after beating Thailand 3-2 at final. Other four gold medals grabbed by Indonesia yesterday made Indonesia collect 33 gold medals, 41 silver and 54 bronze. We conclude for the last headline for Front Republika newspaper. It writes Muslims are asked to refrain from themselves. Muslim followers are encouraged to make the coming Ramadan as a time for restraint or self-control. Chairman of the Indonesian Council of Ulama, MUI, Yunahar Ila, said this restraint can be applied in a simple things. Yunahar pointed out every Muslim should not excessively break or make too many menus of food. With the current economic condition weakened, Yunahar said it is not good to do something excessively. Instead, it would be nicer if Muslims are encouraged to do social activities by increasing alms and or charity. Listener, those were some headlines for national newspapers published in Jakarta today. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is scheduled to officially open the 116-kilometer Cipali toll road, which connects Cikopo in Cikampek and Pali Manand in Cirebon on Saturday, June 13th. With the new toll road connecting the existing Jakarta Cikampek and Pali Manand Brebes toll roads, motorists will be able to travel from Jakarta to Brebes for 4 hours. Finally, this week, Indonesian government formalized a visa-free travel regulation that was announced months ago for citizens from 45 countries in a bid to boost tourism and improve relations with those countries. Indonesian President Joko Widodo signed the President's regulation on visa-free travel for tourists on Tuesday. Jakarta administration will force hundreds of nightclubs and masjid failures to close during Islamic holy month of Ramadan, although certain entertainment centers will be allowed to open at night. Ministry of Social Affairs has recruited a total of 1,200 social workers and counselors in attempt to provide rehabilitation services for drug addicts throughout Indonesia. Indonesia Labor Minister said it appreciates a cooperation agreement or PKB reached between PT Newman Nusa Tenggara and NT and its unit of labor union. The minister noted there are changes in the new agreements which are considered mutually beneficial to both sides. Indonesian athlete Rini Budiarti proved that her wins in the women's 3,000-meter steeplechase in the last two Southeast Asian SEA Games sporting events were no fluke after she scored a hat-trick during a panel event in the National Stadium in Singapore on Friday. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequency of 95.25 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015.
answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to the Batu Putih Beach on Alor Island, East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listener, Alor Island in East Nusa Tenggara Province is one of outer islands in Indonesian territory, which its water borders with East Timor. This small island has an amazing underwater scenery. So, in this edition, we'll invite you to enjoy one of beautiful tourism objects, namely Batu Putih Beach on Alor Island, East Nusa Tenggara Province. Batu Putih Beach is located at Kabola in the same direction with Mali Airport. This airport is the gateway to Alor Island. Tourists usually stop at El Tari Airport in Kupang, the capital city of East Nusa Tenggara Province, before continuing their flight to Alor. To go to Alor, there are two options of transportations. The first is Transnusa Airplane. This airplane is the fastest and most expensive transportation to Alor. But this airplane has fixed schedule, while the second option is the cheaper transportation, namely a ferry which departs from Bolok Seaport and takes around 14 hours. This ferry only operates twice a week from Kupang, namely on Tuesday and Saturday. Arriving at Batu Putih Beach, tourists will see a hill from the highland, glittering white long curved coastline aided with clear water which has blue Tosca color, will make the scenery of Batu Putih Beach more beautiful. Batu Putih Beach is decorated with white small stones, so that, as far as I can see, there are various sizes of stones, from the small size of a rice grain up to the marble sizes. These stones are outspread throughout the beach, so that they make you difficult to walk. This is the uniqueness of the beach, which is the only one in Indonesia. Listener, the name Batu Putih or White Stone was taken from the high cliff which borders the village. Those white cliffs stand horizontally along the village until the beach. Therefore, this beach is called Batu Putih Beach. Listener, after you are satisfied to play at Batu Putih Beach before you leave Alor to Kupang, please do not forget to buy Alor typical souvenirs such as ikat woven clothes, necklaces, miniature of Alor traditional houses, as well as Alor traditional cakes. Well, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, custom and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition, we'll be discussing the Dutch trading company known as the Verenigde Oost-Indische Company, or VOC, which had a great influence in Indonesian history during the Dutch colonial time. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. The Verenigde Oost-Indische Company, or VOC, was established in March 20, 1602. It was a trading company based in Batavia or Jakarta and was formed on the initiative of Johan van Oldenbarneveld. The company is regarded as the first multinational company in the world, and it was also the first company to bring the system. Although the actual distribution of shares of VOC was a trade union body, it was special because supported by the Dutch government and was given special facilities. The main objective is to maintain the monopoly of the VOC spice trade in the Indonesian archipelago. This is done through threats or violence against the population in the Spice Islands, also against people of non-Dutch nationals who tried to trade with local people. In 1603, the VOC obtained a permission to establish a representative office in Banten in the western part of Jawa Island. In 1610, Peter Booth was appointed the first Governor General of VOC from 1610 to 1614, and he chose Jayakarta as the base of VOC administration. Meanwhile, Frederick de Houtman became governor of VOC in Ambon from 1605 until 1611, and then became governor of VOC in Maluku Islands from 1621 to 1623. To govern the territories in Indonesia, VOC appointed a governor general who was assisted by four members of the so-called Raad van Indi, or Indian Board. Under the existing governor general, there was a regional governor, and under him, a resident with an assistant resident. The Dutch desire to perform trade monopoly in Indonesian archipelago was also shared by many other countries, like the United Kingdom and Portugal. The British had even preceded VOC's step by forming a trade union for the region in the 1600 named EIC, or East India Company. VOC became involved in the internal politics of Jawa in those days and fought in several battles involving leaders of Mataram and Banten. The hostilities between the VOC and Banten started in 1619 when Jan Pieter Soenkoen was able to take over Jayakarta, which was later named Batavia, after a region in the Netherlands. Batavia-based VOC wanted to control Sunda Strait because it was very important in Banten trade. The Dutch step was opposed by Banten Sultan Agung Tirtayasa. Banten resistance increased after Sultan Agung Tirtayasa ascended the throne in 1651. until eventually VOC managed to incite Sultan Haji, a son of Sultan Agung Tirtayasa, to rebel against his father. With the help of VOC, Sultan Haji managed to defeat Sultan Agung Tirtayasa and occupied the throne of Banten. Although ultimately Sultan Haji regretted what he had done, because later he was forced to sign an agreement with VOC, which was very detrimental to Banten. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, which informed you about the role of VOC in Indonesian history. Until tomorrow with another edition of Miss Eleni.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Eleni on Indonesia.
Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Ani Hasana, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to three bands, namely Pistol Blast Band, Rocapella Band, and Bass Project Band. First, we'll introduce you to Pistol Blast Band. If you are bored with monotonous music genre, Pistol Blast Band offers different music, namely Arabic rock. The band, which was established in 2009, consists of Jeffrey, the bassist and the vocalist, Anza, the drummer, and Nova, the guitarist. They have made a new concept in music by combining rock and Arabian music. Well, listener, let's listen to a song from Pistol Blast Band entitled Tak Berujung Batas or Endless Limit. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Listener Jeffrey, one of Pistol Blast band personnel, told the meaning of Pistol Blast. He said that when the people listen to their music, they will be influenced and get the effect. Pistol Blast hoped the people who listen to their music will have the effect of Pistol Blast, which is far-reaching. They are optimistic they will be able to penetrate in the Indonesian music market. And that was a glance about Pistol Blast, and now we move to Roca Pela Band. Roca Pela Band consists of five teenagers, namely Calvin, the vocalist, Frankie, the guitarist, Jeffrey, the guitarist, RB, the bassist, and Ari, the drummer. They create and manage Roca Pela by themselves under a producer's direction. They produce easy listening music with simple lyric and easy to be remembered by their listeners. The first single of Roca Pela Band is entitled Coba Coba Pacaran, which was composed by Roca Pela. Well, Voi listener, here is Coba Coba Pacaran to be presented by Roca Pela.
Awalnya kita teman biasa, bercanda tanpa rasa suka. Ketika kau mulai tak biasa, berbeda jadi salah tingkah.
Listener, you have just listened to a song from Roca Pela Band entitled Coba Coba Pacaran. And now, we'll introduce you to Bass Project Band. With a new innovation, Bass Project presents uncommon formation. With four personnel, they play in pop jazz genre. This band was established in August 2012, pioneered by Hazy, who has an idea to gather many basses from various genres in Bandung, West Java. Several times ago, the band released a hit song entitled Hanya Dia or Only Her. With their talent and experiences, they are finally able to make a new color in Indonesian music industry. And they hoped Indonesian music lovers can appreciate their music. Well, Voi listener, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Hanya Dia or Only Her to be sung by Bass Project.
Yakinkan aku, genggam tanganku, hapus.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Andai kau ada di sini, mungkin kau akan tahu siapa diriku. Semua yang ku jalani hanya untuk dirimu, tapi kau tak mau tahu. Selalu cemburu yang engkau tahu. Memang mudah mulut bicara, namun tak semudah kenyataan. Pusing semakin pusing, ku dibuatnya lebih baik ku tinggal kau sejenak, dan mungkin ku lupakan untuk selamanya. Takkan saja semua amarahmu bukan selalu nyanyikan laguku. Lupakanlah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.